What are God's purposes for his world? Has he got a plan that makes sense of history and of our lives? On these autumn Sundays, we're on a journey to discover God's unfolding plan for his world, as revealed in the 66 books of the Bible. We're looking for the story arc that makes sense of the whole Bible story and makes sense of our lives today in 2023. And the theme that we're exploring across the Bible is God's kingdom. What is it? And how does it develop over the centuries? Today, our focus moves to the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel, the 10th book in the Bible. And today's teaching is titled King David, God's Kingdom Promises Fulfilled. If we could have the next slide, Julian. We've moved a long way time-wise over the last couple of Sundays. And this morning we begin with a recap to set King David within God's unfolding plan. 2 weeks ago, we looked at God's covenant promises to Abraham. Abraham lived approximately 4,000 years ago, 2000 BC. Abraham's descendants left the land of Canaan, which God had promised to Abraham, and moved to the great nation of Egypt. As you may remember, this was because of a severe famine. And at this point in God's unfolding plan, the focus is on Abraham's great-grandson, Joseph. Last week, we focused on Moses. Moses lived approximately 3,500 years ago. Hundreds of years have passed since Abraham's descendants moved to Egypt. And they've been enslaved as a workforce for Pharaoh, the Egyptian king. God made a covenant promise to bless the Israelites and to give them the land of Canaan. But instead, they're living far away in Egypt, and they've been enslaved. God restates the Abrahamic promises to Moses and the Israelites, and then God rescues them out of Egypt. Through a mighty power struggle with Pharaoh, through terrible plagues and judgments, he brings them out and leads them across the desert towards the promised land. During this time in the desert, at a place called Sinai, God makes a new covenant with Abraham's descendants through Moses. He gives them laws to live by, especially the Ten Commandments. And he also gives detailed instructions for the making of a tabernacle and an ark. The tabernacle was a tent, a mobile temple. It could be taken apart and the different sections carried as they moved through the desert. At the center of the tabernacle was the Ark of the Covenant. This was a wooden box made of acacia wood, and in it were the stone tablets with the covenant law written on them. If you've seen the 1980s Indiana Jones film Raiders of the Lost Ark, well, that's the Ark. This is the Ark that the film's obviously a fictional film, but that the film focuses on. Now, we've been working with Graham Goldsworthy's simple framework for understanding God's kingdom. God's kingdom is God's people in God's place under God's rule. And at the time of Moses, God rules through his covenant law given at Sinai. This law is now at the heart of the Israelite kingdom. Physically, it's written on the stone tablets that are inside the Ark of the Covenant. So God's presence with the Israelites, that they are his people, is now focused on the tabernacle, the mobile temple, and specifically the Ark at the center of it. God is with his people. He will be their God, and they will be his people. And he's leading them back to the land he promised to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Under the leadership of Joshua, the Israelites cross the Jordan River and enter the promised land of Canaan. And over time, God leads them to defeat the peoples who live there, and they're able to settle in the land. Joshua has an Old Testament book named after him. It's the sixth book in the Bible. And this leads into the period of the judges recorded in the seventh book. You may recognize the names like Othniel and Ehud, Deborah and Gideon. The judges were spirit-filled individuals who God periodically raised up to save his people when they were attacked. So the surrounding kings and nations periodically would come and attack the Israelites. God would raise up a judge to protect and save them. Up to this point, Israel had no king. The other nations had kings, but Israel didn't. The Israelite monarchy begins in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, and that's our focus for today. The first king, Saul, dishonored God and was rejected by him. But with the second king, David, we see God's kingdom promises to Abraham fulfilled. This brings us to today's Bible reading. And you can find that on page 310 in the Church Bibles, 2 Samuel chapter 7. Keith, if you'd like to come up ready for the reading. In the previous chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 6, King David has brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem and installed it inside the tabernacle. And David has a plan to honor God even further than this. But in fact, as you listen, you will see that God has a different plan. Let's hear today's Bible reading.
After the king was settled in his palace and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am living in a palace of cedar while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." That night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I've been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth, and I will provide a palace for my people Israel. I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people shall not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men, with floggings inflicted by men, but my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O sovereign Lord, and what's my family that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, O sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. Is this your usual way of dealing with men, O sovereign Lord? What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O sovereign Lord. For the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made it known to your servant. How great you are, O sovereign Lord. There is none like you, and there is no God but you, as we have heard with our own ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself, and to make a name for himself, and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations and their gods from before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt? You have established your people Israel as your very own forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God. And now, Lord God, keep forever the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house. Do as you promised, so that your name will be great forever. Then men will say, The Lord Almighty is God over Israel, and the house of your servant David will be established before you. O Lord Almighty, God of Israel, you have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build a house for you. So your servant has found courage to offer you this prayer. O sovereign Lord, you are God, your words are trustworthy, and you have promised these good things to your servant. Now be pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, O sovereign Lord, have spoken. And with your blessing, the house of your servant will be blessed forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you for that reading, Keith. So I've got 3 points for the remainder of today's talk. None of them are too long. The headings are on page 2 of the notice sheet to help you. And please keep your Bible open at page 310 so that we can look at some of the verses together. So firstly, God's kingdom promises fulfilled. In the reign of King David, we see God's promises to Abraham fulfilled in a substantial way. God promised to bless Abraham and his descendants. He promised that they would be a great nation living in the land of Canaan. Under the reign of David, God in his sovereignty has brought this about. Israel is now really established in Canaan. At the beginning of today's reading, we heard that the nation is at peace. The Lord has given David rest from all his enemies around him. All the troubles of the time of the judges, all the raiding parties, all the attacks, it's over. God is blessing his people. And under David's reign, we see significant developments in the fulfillment of God's promises. Remember, he's promised to bless them and to be with them and to be their God. He promised them the land of Canaan where they're now living. But what we see is that that promise zeroes in further than that. Jerusalem, the city of David, has now been established as the capital of the promised land. God's presence with Israel now focuses on the tabernacle in Jerusalem. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, we can read of how David brings the Ark of the Covenant from the house of Obed-Edom and into Jerusalem. He set it in place in the tent. God's presence with Israel is now at the center of the tabernacle, focused on the Ark of the Covenant. So in God's unfolding plan, his promise to bless Abraham's descendants and to be their God zeroes in on the ark. So it goes like this. It progresses from the land of Canaan to the city of David, Jerusalem, to the tabernacle, and zeroing in ultimately on this wooden box, the ark. So it is helpful to grasp that the ark represents God's covenant promises to bless Abraham's descendants. It's a physical reminder of the promises. It represents his commitment to the Israelites. It's got the actual law inside it that he gave at Sinai. Placing the ark in Jerusalem tells the Israelites that God is keeping and fulfilling his covenant promises. Now, the rule of God remains the laws given through Moses, particularly the Ten Commandments. But there are now two additional elements. There's a human king to rule God's people, in this case, David. And there are prophets to speak for God and to bring God's laws before his people, particularly when they forget them and start to dishonor him. In chapter 7, we meet the prophet Nathan. And the Bible books 1 and 2 Samuel are named after Samuel, the famous prophet. So in the reign of King David, we see God's promises to Abraham being fulfilled in a substantial way. On page 2 of the notice sheet is this table that you might like to fill in if you have a pen. This shows us the state of play with God's plan at the time of King David. God's people are the nation of Israel under King David. God's place is Canaan, centered on Jerusalem and the Ark of the Covenant. And they're living under God's rule, the Sinai Covenant, with a God-given king to shepherd them and God's prophets to guide them. So under King David, God's people are in God's place under God's rule. This is in many ways a high point of God's kingdom in the Old Testament. On to my second heading. Building a house for God's name. King David was a man after God's own heart. His devotion to the Lord was notable. He was a king who wanted to honor God. And in this regard, David has a plan. He's brought the ark into the tabernacle to honor God in that way. And then he thinks about this and reflects that he lives in a palace as the king, while the ark of God remains in a tent. And David thinks, well, this isn't right. You know, why should God, so to speak, be living in a tent while I'm living in a palace? So he plans to build a proper temple for the Lord, a house for the Lord. It's a noble, God-honoring goal. But that night, God speaks a message for David to the prophet Nathan. David's plan is not God's plan. God doesn't need David to build him a physical house for the ark. He hasn't spoken to David, commanding him to do this. And indeed, in all the time that the Israelites were moving through the desert, from one place to the next, setting the tabernacle up, taking it down again, moving, he never instructed any of the leaders to build him a house of cedar wood. So that's not actually God's plan. Good idea from David, but not God's plan. Instead, God makes wonderful new covenant promises to David. And Nathan reports them to him. Let's have a look at verse 11. So this is Nathan reporting the message from God. The Lord declares to you, to David, that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, there's a play on words here. David wants to build a house for the Ark of the Lord, a physical house, a building, a temple. But God's response is that he will build a house for David. Not a physical building, but a dynasty of kings descending from David, as it says, coming from his own body. God is going to be the giver. David wants to build a house to honor God, but in fact, God is the one who's going to build the house to honor both himself and King David. God is the giver, not David. And in the next installment of the Kingdom Come series on the 15th of October, we'll see this promise fulfilled in the life of David's son, Solomon. It will be Solomon who builds a temple for God in Jerusalem. Now, there's a lesson for us here in this chapter of the Bible. David has a good and noble plan. He loved God, and he wanted to do it with the best of intentions. But although David's motive was good, God has a different plan. And we can see here a principle for each of us today. God's plans take priority over our plans. And this is the important thing, even over our good plans. God is sovereign. He's the Lord, he's the King. And we must submit to him and to his will revealed to us in his word, the Bible. You may have a good idea or a good plan, something that you want to do in your life or to do for God. But if you find out that it conflicts with Scripture, then you need to lay it aside. It may be a good plan, but God's plans take priority over our plans, even our good plans. We see in the life of David how human kingship gets added to God's unfolding plan. Before Saul and David, Israel never had a human king. God was their king. But now, with the establishment of the Israelite monarchy, God's rule is partly exercised by kings. It's a change in his kingdom plan, a development. And as we come to close, I want to show you how this new stage of God's unfolding revelation relates to Jesus Christ. Here's my third and final heading: an eternal kingdom under an eternal king. God makes an amazing promise to David in chapter 7, verse 16. Please look with me. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. God is promising, without any conditions attached, that David's kingdom will be established forever. Just imagine God saying that to you. It's a massive promise. Now, although David is greatly celebrated, he is a mortal king. He's a normal human like us. David is going to die one day, but his kingdom will continue on after him. And God makes this extraordinary promise that it will be established forever. God promises David the legacy of an eternal kingdom. David's prayer and response, which Keith read to us, it's a prayer full of humility, and it's full of wonder at the honor that God is giving to him. And it's on the basis of 2 Samuel chapter 7 and the promises there that the later messianic hope was built. the hope of a Messiah king, a Christ king. As Christians, we believe that this promise is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ, King Jesus, the Messiah. So let's fast forward now 1,000 years to the angel Gabriel's announcement to the Virgin Mary. And it's here on the screen. Before Jesus was even conceived in Mary's womb, the angel Gabriel tells her who Jesus is going to be. Luke chapter 1. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. So God promised David that his kingdom would be established forever. In a similar way, Gabriel tells Mary that God will give the throne of David to Jesus, and that Jesus' kingdom will never end. So in God's unfolding plan, Jesus is therefore the fulfillment of the kingdom promise made to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, there on the left-hand side. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me, God said to David. Your throne shall be established forever. David was the king of God's kingdom in his day, 1000 BC, and a millennium later, Jesus is going to grow up to be the king of God's kingdom. This is why it's so important in the Gospels that Jesus descended from David. It's exciting to see God's promises fulfilled as his plan unfolds through history, over the centuries. But the real wow factor is in these words from Gabriel that are highlighted on the right. Gabriel says to Mary, he, your son, Jesus, will reign over the house of Jacob forever. The house of Jacob means the Israelite kingdom. I wonder if you can see what's being promised there. Gabriel is promising Mary that her son Jesus is going to live forever and reign forever. It's a staggering promise. David's kingdom will last forever, but he himself will die. Jesus' kingdom will last forever, but he himself will never die, will never end. That is the wow Bible verse. How can this be? If Jesus is a good king, but just a regular king like David, then it's impossible. God's got to do something remarkable to keep this promise from the angel Gabriel. And we see it fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, in his resurrection and then his ascension up to heaven without dying. Because of this, Jesus is still alive today, 2,000 years later, in the year 2023. He's reigning in heaven at the moment with God the Father. Jesus is reigning as king on Sunday, the 1st of October. Now we pray each week, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom's going on in heaven. It's perfect. We're praying that that perfection of God's kingdom will come down and be manifest on earth. And God promises in Scripture that this will happen when Jesus returns, when he returns and makes a new heaven and a new earth, a perfect kingdom where sin and pain are things of the past. All Saints Church, this is what we are being called into, an eternal kingdom under an eternal king. So in following and submitting to King Jesus, in participating in the life of his church, in looking to honor him and to live for him in our day-to-day lives, this is what we've been called into. This is our promised future. We can see how God's kept his promises in the past, so we can have confidence that he's going to keep this promise that hasn't happened yet. An eternal kingdom, David's kingdom, under an eternal king, Jesus, Son of the Most High. So in conclusion, God has a plan for his world, an unfolding plan, a sovereign plan. It's not just something that began a few years ago. It's not just the latest, you know, Tory policies or what Labour say they'll do if they get into power for the next 5 years. No, it reaches back into history and was particularly centred on the Israelite people descended from Abraham. When you and I come under the kingship of Jesus, the Messiah, we come into this Israelite history. God's engagement with King David becomes our history. And Jesus' kingship, his eternal kingship, is where that other element of God's promise to Abraham comes true. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. God said to Abraham, "And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you," through Abraham. All peoples includes us here in Essex. It expands God's focus from the Israelites to include people of all nationalities, the Gentiles of which we are part. As individuals and families submit to the eternal kingship of Jesus, here in Essex and around the world, the Abrahamic blessing is expanding. As churches form, as churches prevail, Jesus' kingdom is growing in 2023. And it's a fulfillment of God's promises made 4,000 years ago. This is a big story. Understanding God's unfolding plan helps each of us to know who we are. We find our place in God's epic plan. And understanding God's big plan helps us to know who we are as a church in 2023. The promises are our anchor. So never forget what church is about. Our ordinary Sunday gatherings of ordinary people like you and me are about something extraordinary. An eternal kingdom under an eternal king. King Jesus, great David's greater son. Well, let's turn to prayer now. I'll give you a moment to reflect on this. Perhaps you want to pray quietly on your own, and then I'll lead us in a prayer together. Heavenly Father, we marvel that you would bind yourself with promises made to mere people. We praise you for your promises and your plan stretching down over thousands of years of human history. And we thank you for King Jesus. He is the gateway into your kingdom. He's the way into the blessing of your promises to Abraham. So we come to you, Jesus, afresh in this moment. Lord Jesus, please give each of us a place in your Father's kingdom. And we look forward to your return as king that you have promised in the scriptures. Amen.